Well, good morning, everyone. Could say Ping An, which means in Chinese peace. And the song, and we're going to talk today about Ping An Jie, which is silent night in Chinese. But we're going to talk about it in English, of course. But what I'd just like to do today is talk about this, talk about silent night a little bit before we talk about this passage, because I think the silent night is a very important part of our tradition of celebrating Christmas, and it's an important part of who we are as Christians at Christmas time, and it relates very closely to the passage that we've seen or just read. Who knows the story of Silent Night, how it was written? Okay, it's all new. A little bit Suan might know. I think Ellison knows a wee bit, and John knows a wee bit. Okay, well, it was written in 1818, and it was written in a small Austrian village called Obendorf by Salzburg, when Salzburg's the city, and this was a little village that was quite close by. Now, the village was very, very poor, and the vicar, or the minister, didn't have anything really to sing, because at that time there was no real Christmas carols, and he wanted to sing something about Christmas to celebrate on Christmas Eve the birth of Jesus. And he had a problem with his organ. Not only didn't he have any songs to sing, but he had a problem with his organ, and that the organ could only play certain notes. This was a very poor parish, and there was only certain notes that it could play. And so anyone who's the musicos among us will know that there are certain notes that Silent Night avoids. And that's because, why? Because mice had eaten mice had eaten the chords, so they don't play. And so there's only certain notes that you could play. And so Silent Night ended up with, as it is, but there are certain notes that are not actually in it, that are never played. It was composed not for the organ, actually, but for the guitar and the organ. And so later we'll hear it. And I'm very glad we've got the sing it, and I'm very glad we've got the guitar. But Silent Night has become the most popular carol, and it's become translated into just about every language on earth, and it is sung all over the world, and we will be singing it this Christmas with Christians right around the globe. It's a very powerful message of heavenly peace, and it's crossed all borders and language barriers. And there's a famous story of 1914. Who knows the story of Christmas 1914? There's a few of the older ones do. This is a lesson for the younger ones. In Christmas Day in 1914, on the trench, on the trenches in the Western Front, the generals at least managed to stop firing on Christmas Day. And the German troops were about from me to the wall, from the English troops. And the German troops started singing Silent Night, in German, of course. And then the English troops responded by singing as well. And then they got up out of the trench and went over to each other and exchanged gifts. And it became known as the Christmas Truce in 1914. Unfortunately, the generals didn't like that, so it didn't happen again in 1915, but at least that did happen once. And the power of Silent Night to still those guns is a testimony to the story, to the song itself. So I just want to show some clips of Silent Night. And the first clip is the worst rendition ever of Silent Night, according to The Guardian. Okay? Can we have it? And see if you can guess. I think Rob and a few others will guess who this is. Who is it? Rob? Where's Rob? Wrong. Any idea who those guys are? Yeah, Bayern Munich. as Thomas Müller, and he's in the German national soccer team. And so those guys are the German national soccer team presenting the worst ever possible rendition of Silent Night, according to the Guardian newspaper. And I think it's their gestures and the fact they're not actually entering into the real spirit of Silent Night. What I think is the biggest botch up of Silent Night, can we have the second one?
Who's this?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm and all is bright.
Who likes it? Who likes that version? Okay, Bernie, that's great.
Okay, Reach.
Bernie does. Good. Anyone else? Well, over five out of ten. Three. Okay, three to five. Okay. Right, now I'm next. Try the next one, and just this is well, I'm lost for words with this one, but away we go.
Okay, Reach. Are you ready for what's coming up next?
I've been waiting all morning for it. One of the biggest musical superstars in all of entertainment. She's a Grammy Award winner, a chart topper, and she also is the star of a new musical film about making dreams come true.
I know. She really is incredible, and she's here to sing the holiday classic, Silent Night, the incomparable Beyoncé.
Of that one? Well, no, maybe not to do. Who liked it? I shouldn't be. A lot of people liked it, right. Why wouldn't. Well, anyone didn't like it? Quiver. Okay. Too much quiver. She's certainly got a great voice. There's no doubt about that. Silent Night at Disneyland? The two issues. One is Silent Night at Disneyland, and the second one is. What did the reporters say, or the presenters say? And what didn't they say? They didn't say anything about Jesus. It was all about Beyoncé. And part of the problem often with the Christian church and its presentation of the gospel is we accent the messenger, and we the singer, and not who is the subject of the song. Okay, and last one.
Oh,
Innsbrucker Kapelle.
What do you think of that one? 10 out of 10. Okay, why do you think that song suits Silent Night better than, say, well, I think better than the other ones? Yep, yep. The accent is on the thoughts of the composer. There's the purity of the voices, particularly of boys whose voices haven't been broken. It's as though the song's almost been made for them. And that song, that rendition, I think, captures what we try to do and say about Christmas, where the accent is on, if you understand the German, they understand the message, and the voices are conveying the message. And the German there was Licht ins Dunkel, which means light into darkness. And the whole question, the whole idea of light coming into the world through the darkness. Can we just have a quick look now at the slide? And this is my favorite subject, translation. And this is the translation of, the direct translation. It's not what you sing, it's the direct translation of the German. Stille Nacht doesn't mean silent. It means a night that has been stilled. So what's the difference between a still night and a night that has been stilled? It means that God has stilled this night. This night has become still. And it's like, almost as though he's saying, it's like in Taiwanese terms, when the eye of a typhoon goes over you. And when the eye of a typhoon goes over, all the wind stops. Absolutely everything stops. There's no birds, nothing happens, no one comes out. And the place is absolutely, completely still. There's nothing, no noise. And then, of course, the typhoon itself comes through again. But while you're in the eye of the typhoon, that is when things are stilled. And it's as though the composer is saying, we are in the eye of God. We are stilled to think about and reflect upon the majesty and awesomeness of God. And then all are sleeping, alone, awake, only the trusting holy pair. And the whole question of trust, of Mary's trust and Joseph's trust. We often forget Joseph. Joseph's there too. Joseph's trust in God, how he and they trust him for what's about to happen. The next line's a little curious. Sweet boy with curly hair. That's what the German actually says. Sweet boy with curly hair. Does that strike you as a little bit strange? How do we know that Jesus had curly hair? No, we don't. So the author or the writer has actually put into place his perception of little boys, which maybe little Austrian boys have curly hair. I don't know, but he's given Jesus curly hair, and this maybe it's just because it rhymes, but it's good. Sleep in heavenly peace. Can we have the one we do actually sing, the English translation? Silent night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, asleep in heavenly peace. And that, the English translator has translated it completely. What's he accented? So in the translation there's a different accent, a different emphasis. And the emphasis is on the virgin, on who, the fact that it's Mary has conceived Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And the accent goes on, Jesus being tender and mild. But mild is something of a weak word, I think. What does mild mean? A baby boy's mild? It becomes a little bit of a subjective question. But anyway, thank you for that. So I just wanted to reflect a little bit on the actual passage, just for a moment, and what's in the passage and what isn't in the passage. In that song, in the Silent Night, Jesus is given curly hair. We don't know that from the passage. From the passage itself. How did Mary get into Bethlehem? How did she arrive in Bethlehem? What's the usual picture of her arriving in Bethlehem? On a donkey, but that's not in the passage either. So we don't actually know how she got to Bethlehem, but we can presume it was on a donkey because that was a normal means of transport. And then we begin to think about, what are our perceptions of a donkey? What do you think of when you think of donkeys? Stubborn, right? A bit slow, a bit stupid, right? And they're a kind of lesser kind of horse, right? And so when you don't have a horse, you can't afford a horse. When you can't afford a Maserati, you get a mini Morris Minor, right? So it's that kind of thing. So Jesus didn't arrive on a horse. He didn't arrive on a magnificent steed. He arrived on a donkey. And again, he came into Jerusalem on a donkey. And that tells us that Jesus is a certain kind of king. It tells us that Jesus is a humble king, as is Mary. And the donkey, however, if you look at it positively, is hardworking. It's maybe a bit unspectacular. But the donkey has the unusual privilege of carrying Mary into Bethlehem, and the unusual privilege of carrying Jesus to Jerusalem. And it's this unspectacular animal that has that great privilege of carrying the Prince of Peace. And so what that's telling us too is the image of the donkey tells us that we don't need to be powerful, we don't need to be good looking or rich or influential. We can carry the Prince of Peace into the world around us today. We can carry it in the YWCA or in our work. We can carry him, the Prince of Peace, into those places. The carol, of course, doesn't mention donkeys, but it does mention Mary's humility and her humbleness, and it accents that. And one of the things it says about that, and again, coming back to the translation thing, the word humility or humble is related to the Latin word humus, which means earth. And so it made to feel like earth, and you're on the earth. And that's where humiliated comes from. And so humble humility, those are words, and humanitarian, those are words which deal with the earthly and the things of earth. It means that we're not worried about what people say, but we're rejoicing in what God thinks of us. Mary was first humble, she's secondly realistic. So let's be realistic. She knew that she was used by God, that she was fallible, that she was insignificant, but that God would use her and this child that she was carrying. And lastly, she knew that she would be blessed, that she personally may never see personal glorification. She would never be a celebrity like Beyonce. She would never be well known. She would never have her name in lights. Not in her lifetime, but afterwards, yes. But she remained faithful because she knew that God was using her and going to use her, the son that she was carrying. So it's at Christmas time, at this time of year, we can remember that we may be the same. What we do may not achieve, be seen in the Herald or on TV1, TV3 or any other TV program. But as we work for this Prince of Peace, as we carry the Prince of Peace into our places of work, into our families, into other places, he will work through us, and we may not see the results in our lifetime even, or in the time that we're here, but God will use what we do. And the Prince of Peace has sent us into the world, just as he sent Jesus into the world, to be his messengers of hope and joy. Amen. We come now to the communion. I'm just going to ask the music team if they wouldn't mind just singing